Welcome to another episode of the Through Speech Podcast. We're coming to you from all places today. I'm the mad lad of Jihad. Jussie Peanuts is coming to you from Reading East Travel Lodge. So if he cuts out, he cuts out. That's what you get for paying for the internet. Ollie's coming from Hong Kong and has better internet a continent away than... actually, Justin's just gone not pixelated. So we might be good. But now we can't hear him.
How can the Wi-Fi in a Travelodge in the U of K be worse than Ollie's? Which is probably not. I imagine it's in a grass, some sort of hut made out of straw.
No, Ollie's in Hong Kong. But
Hong Kong's got good internet, and I don't have to go through a VPN, as I'm going to have to do when I go to China at the weekend. But
is that because you're a nonce?
No. Although, if we are putting the record straight on things about me, there was a comment under the video last week, which is, I had no idea Ollie was gay. And then people responded to that going, oh yeah, it all makes sense.
What's wrong with being gay?
What,
there's
you're
nothing
not
wrong with it.
Well, why are you gay or not? Then? Yeah.
Are you gay or not, Ollie? Answer the question. Actually, this is extremely childish. Ollie can be whatever he wants to be. And we won't be discussing that.
Finally, listen, Darius says it. Also, is more it? Context, Darius. Why don't we just explain that Justin and I have had a front row seats for the last 40 minutes. So you know those YouTube videos when they train chimps to recognize number patterns and there's a touchscreen? Darius did a pastiche to that while he was trying to get Ecamm to work.
I got it to work eventually.
Last week, when we recorded, I was like, oh, that was the worst thing I've ever been involved in. But then released on the Friday, I'd had some edibles and I watched it, and it's the most I've ever laughed probably in my life. I thought I was going to have an aneurysm.
It's so funny.
I don't know if it's just because so it was funny. Darius, but I found it so funny.
I was trying hard to make it work.
Content. I just mean Darius's little face staring like this, trying to do it, and just the wrong camera. It's like every time he cuts the exact wrong one.
Anyway, what?
You know those scenes from that the Alan Partridge show, the one which is the pastiche of, I've just used the word pastiche twice on this show, of the one show, and the Tim Key character is using that touchscreen. You know he keeps getting it wrong. It's just like that. This podcast basically enjoys one big meta joke, which is that it's still going. There are still people listening, like in spite of everything. That's the funniest thing about this podcast. Who's
this
for?
This potentially could be a good podcast if we tried.
Document.
Justin's now flopped out. That's what you get, Justin.
You can talk.
Reading Travel Lodge has silenced you correctly. Reading East Travel Lodge has silenced him correctly. Have you been following the news this week? Have you seen the P. Daddy furore, Candace Owens? And other news. What have you been following that?
In the Taylor Swift angle.
No. Okay.
Meteoric rise to fame. Apparently, her manager has been heavily implicated in P. Diddy in this, saying that he might have done favors and he might have got in bed with the Satan to get her as famous as she is.
Who? P. Diddy got. Well, have you been following it, Ollie?
Taylor.
No, I've just Googled it now. You didn't send a list of topics today.
Yeah. I mean, this has not been the most rehearsed.
actually,
been in hospital all week.
Do you want to know what the actual list of topics is? So when Darius said, can you do the pod? I said, yeah, okay, I'm free at 11. He said, I'm going to have a coffee and do a shower. I'm going to have a coffee and take a shower. And I said, we could talk about that. And he said, I'm having it with dehydrated milk. And I said, well, why don't you wait and tell me this on the podcast? It's better if it's live so I can give my real reaction. So tell me about the coffee you had.
I've decided I no longer buy milk. I buy dehydrated milk because then only use it for coffee. So it just stays in the cupboard and you've always got milk for coffee.
What do you mean dehydrated milk? Powder or like the
milk? Yeah, powdered milk.
Does it taste the same?
Yeah. It's powdered milk. It's just like, you don't
I
need
do
to...
find it... Go on.
Yeah, so you just don't need to waste your time, you know, throwing out milk if you don't use it all. I only use it
and you can
coffee.
Pretend you're in a fucking bomb shelter or something. Why would you do that? You live near a shop.
Because I'm too lazy to go to the shop and I only use it in my coffee. I don't drink milk all the time, so I just have a bit of powdered milk. It's a new life hack. Actually, it's a really good invention I made.
Well,
it's funny on the continent, they use pasteurized milk, don't they? So you don't buy cold
No,
milk.
UHT. We use pasteurized milk. You mean UHT?
I mean UHT milk, yeah. Ultra. What?
High temperature treated. So I'm in the Travelodge Reading East, and all my partners don't drink milk, but we often have friends, someone will come round and they want a cup of tea. We don't drink tea, but I've got tea bags, but we've never got milk. So I've nicked 4 nights and I've nicked the 4 UHTs and then they replenish them and I'm going to keep them in the... What's Ollie just... What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing that I've been vindicated when I said to Darius, save it for the pod.
Shit.
Also, you know, the problem with powdered milk is it creates a bit of a sludge at the bottom of the cup.
This is the powdered milk episode.
I don't know why it creates a sludge.
But I've been to McDonald's.
I've been really getting into the Hong Kong milk tea milk coffee where they put
fucking little cod liver oil capsules in it.
No, it's evaporated milk, so it's from a can, and then they stab it with a screwdriver and pour a bit of evaporated milk. It makes it slightly sweet. It's really nice.
Isn't that good? Why does that taste like toffee condensed milk?
Caramel, there's natural sugars in the milk that would caramelize a bit like toffee.
No, but don't you all feel that milk's a bit gross?
A little bit.
It's like you squirt out of a big dumb animal's fat old tit, looks like a bagpipe. That's fucking horrible if you think about it.
I
think skim milk's weird.
Why?
Kind of consistency of water, but it's not.
What about soy milk?
That's how Spanish milk introduces itself.
Hey-o, that was a good joke.
Because Olay means milk, didn't it? Soy Olay. Does Olay mean milk?
It's gone over Justin's head. Sorry, Justin, you need more than you need a GCSE education level to understand that very smart joke.
Our history degree doesn't help you now.
Fucking fastest couple of cunts, ain't you? Fuck off, you Oxford fucking fruits.
Who it is, Justin? Soy milk.
Soy means soy. Hola, soy.
No, soy means I am. Soy means I am.
Justin, I just said that.
No one can hear what you're saying. What else? Did you see it? Anyway, listen, have you seen the Candace Owens stuff? Do you know who Candace Owens is?
She criticised Israel and Ben Shapiro sacked her.
Well, so she's part of the Daily Wire, if you don't know, and she's like, man, what this whole Israel-Palestine situation is really unraveling, like, the right-wing conservatives, because she's part of the Daily Wire, which is co-owned by this guy called Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Boring. And these, like, Daily Wire is like this, like, it is the conservative speech, and all the MAGA people follow it, and Ben Shapiro is kind of outspoken, but he's super pro. I mean, he's Jewish and he's super pro Israel.
Yeah.
Whereas Candace Owens is America first, and her and people like Tucker Carlson are like, listen, why are we sending money to fight other people's wars? Why are we contributing to this? So she's, and a lot of conservatives feel that way and a lot don't, but she's on this, like, she's on the biggest conservative network, free speech network. We don't believe in canceling. Say what you want. You know, that's their whole platform. Anyway, so she's come out and she said, why are we supporting Israel? Why are we doing this shit? And then they've canceled her and got her fired her from her job. So it makes a mockery of their opinion about, you know, their stance on free speech. It's all been playing out live.
Yeah, basically, but like, do you not reckon it's more like a personality clash than
no
No, all right.
Then she said, and what's funny now is that the conservative media will go mad about like religion, because she's been arguing with this rabbi called Rabbi Shmuley, who looks just like a dickhead, and he's been saying, he's just been antagonizing her, and she's arguing back, clap back, and then she got accused of anti-Semitism because she called him a dickhead or something. Then she interviewed this rabbi, another rabbi, and basically it transpired that she was like, look, I believe what I believe, and I believe that he's unholy because this rabbi also sells porn, and he's a media personality. Anyway, so she basically ended a thing and said, Christ is king. So now they're saying the expression Christ is king is anti-Semitic. But what's funny is you're watching all these like right-wing conservative nerds argue over religion. But apparently
Christ is anti-Semitic?
Well, apparently according to this rabbi, anti-Semitism has a change in flexible meaning. It can change at any point. So it can mean whatever it wants. It can change whenever. And saying Christ is king is anti-Semitic because it's blood libel on the Jewish people. Something like that.
You know, Jewish people don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
Yeah, I'd imagine anyone who's not Christian believes that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I know because my ex-wife's Jewish. So I still don't know nothing about it. It bored the fuck out of me. Yeah. But the thing is, how is it that you can't... America is funding the war in Ukraine, but I don't understand the distinction. It's like that the war between.
Oh shit! What about the attack in Russia? That was nuts. Hey, go on, sorry.
Oh yeah. But I'm saying it's just because Russians and Ukrainians have a similar faith or culture, the division lines, it's nowhere near as contentious. Like I don't know anyone that says I don't know. It's just sort of been forgotten, that one, isn't it? I think more people are dying there, are they?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't actually want to bring up the Israel-Palestine debate again. You stand where you stand on that. That's your fucking remit. The point I'm making is it was the hypocrisy that's been exposed from the Daily Wire firing Candace Owens, then claiming, oh, we're bastions of free speech and we believe this. But their presenters aren't free to criticize Israeli foreign policy or the US foreign policy when it comes to Israel. So that's what I thought was interesting about it.
Do you want to know something really surprising about Ben Shapiro?
Yeah.
He's lactose intolerant.
He's about 6 foot tall.
Is he?
Don't you think he comes across super short because he talks so quick and he looks like a little rat, doesn't he? Oh, that's anti-Semitic. Yeah. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like he's not an athlete. I didn't mean anything else.
If anyone can call someone, say someone looks like a rat, it's you. Because you look like a rat.
Like a fucking owl that would hunt them.
Listen, Justin, you look like a 280p fucking pixelated mess.
You know who's have done this. They controlled all the Wi-Fi, didn't they?
Travelodge.
Who profits from porn the most in the world?
I just want to say on behalf of the Free Speech Podcast, these are not the views of Darius Davies and or Ollie Horn. Continue, Justin.
What have I said now?
Well, we're waiting for you to tell us who profits the most.
Do you know who profits the most from porn in the whole world?
No, who is it?
Mormons.
Mormons? Again, not our views. That's not what we believe.
Apparently they own... No, because Mormons own a lot of hotel chains like the Marriott and all this. And the only people that really pay for pornography these days are people that pay to watch it in the hotel. This might not be true now, but it certainly was 5 to 10 years. So actually, they are really profiting from...
I might just hang Justin up because he's just terrible.
Nothing to do with the quality of his connection, just the quality of his contributions.
Oh, he's hung up anyway. He's gone. Absolutely, he's gone. Absolutely pathetic. Right.
Now we can talk about interesting stuff. Do you want to hear my thoughts on how Hong Kong has changed after the new security law?
I do want to hear your thoughts on how Hong Kong has changed after the new security law.
You know about the security law?
No. Tell us what it is.
So it's known as Article 23, and it's basically to do with like various types of crimes against, it's like national security. So stuff like treason and insurrection. And this was the law that all the protests were about in 2019, right? So I heard, this might be wrong, but I heard that it was to do with the fact that there was a murder in Taiwan a few years back. And then Hong Kong realized they had no extradition treaty with Taiwan. And so that was like the impetus for this law. But basically, it's a very Chinese law. Mm-hmm. So things like, you know, life imprisonment for treason or insurrection, like up to 20 years imprisonment for espionage, that kind of thing. And you can also be detained indefinitely while you're being questioned. And it basically gives the police huge powers. And it also means that, like, basically what it means is if the police deem that there's a national security reason, you can basically be stopped from doing anything, including like consulting a lawyer or something like that, right? It's really quite a pernicious law. And it came into effect last week. And this was the law which, as I said, people a few years ago, when it was published in 2020, I think it was. So basically, it's a mainland Chinese law. And for those that, I think a lot of the listeners will know Hong Kong history, but very briefly, the country's supposed to have, why are you laughing?
That our listeners know Hong Kong history.
Well, they probably do. Basically, Hong Kong used to be a British colony, and we got it on the basis of the British got it on the basis of three different wars, all to do with the selling of opium. And what happened was three parts of Hong Kong, the island, then Kowloon, and then a bit more of the mainland, were ceded. Two indefinitely, and then one indefinitely and two on a long-term lease of 150 years or something like that. Anyway, in 1997, Britain handed Hong Kong to the mainland in a treaty that Margaret Thatcher signed in the late 80s. And one of the conditions of this treaty was that Hong Kong would continue to enjoy one country. And so Hong Kong would be a city a special administrative region of China. But it would continue to enjoy the freedoms and democracy that it's enjoyed under British rule.
Can I just interrupt just for 1 second, just to clarify for our listeners, today's episode is what it's like living in the fag zone. Usually we watch videos on bridges, trains. Today we're learning about administrative Hong Kong law and also the history of Hong Kong. And, you know, can't all be funny.
This is boring. So
no, I find it interesting. I mean, I don't know if I'm unless
I haven't really written jokes about it.
Well, so what's happened? Actually, what does this mean, though? So what's happened? So the law's gone into effect, and how's things changed then?
So what it means is Hong Kong... what it means is up to 2047. So when Hong Kong was handed over in 1997, there was a 50-year period where it was supposed to be one country, two systems, right? So until 2047, Hong Kong was supposed to enjoy Hong Kong law, which is like old British law, and all of the freedoms that allows. Now, people can be tried in mainland China. Beijing has the power over how the law can be interpreted. So if there's like a conflict with local Hong Kong law, then the Beijing law takes priority.
People living in Hong Kong, are they British, like from before 1997? Are they British or Chinese?
No, they're Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's got its own passport.
Hong Kong has its own passport. So The reason why lots of Hong Kongers have moved to London is because of this, I think it's called BNO status, where like you were a British national, but you were born in Hong Kong, right? And so a lot of people that had that status, so born pre-97, could move to the UK. And that's where there's been a big brain drain from Hong Kong. But basically, Hong Kong was its own country. And this is what I found quite interesting, actually. I think it was Patterson who was the governor of Hong Kong. When the handover to China was facilitated, they actually introduced a whole bunch of kind of democratic measures to do with how they elect members of their parliament, which the subjects in Hong Kong didn't enjoy under British rule. So there was almost a bit of an overcorrection that, like, you know, participatory democracy with universal suffrage wasn't really a thing until after the handover, after the British left. So Hong Kong is in this weird place where it's enjoyed its own unique separate identity to China. And also, I mean, one analogy, I don't think it's a very good analogy, but think about Catalonia compared to the rest of Spain. So the Catalonians have a really strong sense of national pride. They speak their own language. Their cuisine's different. They've historically had their own legal system. And so it's a bit similar in Hong Kong that they speak Cantonese. They use the traditional characters rather than the simplified characters. The food is different. And also Hong Kong, because...
Did you just press something on your laptop? Because for some reason...
No, I think I did a thumbs up. And then I think, yeah, this is an Apple webcam thing that apparently you can't turn off. And I know. And I read something like a funeral director was doing, like, did something, and then like balloons fell or something. It was, it's bad.
What else does it do?
I don't know. We should look into it. But Hong Kong used to have, you know,
the tick's not coming up.
Hong Kong used to have like British judges, right? Like literally used to be like a bunch of British people were in their high court. This is the issue, right? The national security law is a breach of the treaty that China signed with the UK in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is Britain's got absolutely no means to enforce this, right? Like, what would we do? So Britain's response to the security law was to retaliate by offering these visas and whatever else. But my sense being here, and I guess a bit of context, I spent, when I was planning on being a lawyer before I made the very wise move of becoming a comedian.
Ollie's got multiple law degrees from Oxford and is the go-to lawyer for all comedians in need.
I've got three law degrees that I studied in three separate languages. What a flex. And at the time, in 2014, I was a marshal in the court in Hong Kong. The only reason I came here was because I fancied a girl who I met at uni who was like, I live in Hong Kong. I didn't even know what it was. And I was like, well, okay, I'm going. And then I arrive and I'm like, I'm here. And she went, yeah, I'm in America with my boyfriend. And I went, that is a problem.
So Ollie was and continues to be a simp.
Oh.
You traveled halfway across the world to be with some girl who then went off with her boyfriend.
Yeah, but you don't know how fit she was.
You should put a picture up and we'll judge her.
All right. Anyway, where was I?
So, you were talking about you were a marshal in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I spent a bit of time interacting with it. And this was in 2014, just before the Umbrella Revolution, which was like the first kind of set of protests and unrest about how mainland China was starting to encroach a bit in the freedoms of Hong Kong. So I kind of made the decision in 2015. Maybe this isn't the best legal system to practice in. Because at the time, Hong Kong kind of felt like this real gateway to Asia. It was, you know, the banking sector, the legal sector here was enormous. English, obviously, widely spoken, very easy to live in. Really amazing expat community. I used to do loads of like open mics here, and it was just really fun. Now you can't even gig without, you literally can't gig without a visa. And I turned up to an open mic yesterday just because I thought it'd be fun. But I said to the promoter, I was like, there can be no evidence that I'm on this because the guy that's my promoter will get in so much trouble if I'm doing this. And then some prick who works for the bar starts filming me. And I'm like, you can't film. And he goes, oh, no, I work for the bar. I went, I don't care who you work for. There's no record of me doing this. Well, obviously now there's a record on this podcast. I don't think the authorities are listening. Well, actually, no, I didn't do anything wrong in the end because I was about to go up and he went and I said, you can't film me. And he goes, why? I said, because I don't want to be filmed. And well, he wouldn't, so I just didn't go up. So I actually turned it to the open mic, got the free drink vouchers, and then never had to gig, which is probably the best way of doing an open mic.
Best way of doing comedy.
Open mics are awful, man. I've not done an open mic in well over 2-3 years now. My God, it is depressing. There are people there just trying to enjoy a nice quiet drink while a bunch of the mentally ill carousel for 5 minutes each to bother their night. It's so sad, and it's sad watching the comics get angry with the people that have gone out for a nice quiet drink in good faith, because it's like it's us that's bothering them, and then all these comics are going, can't you just listen, these jokes normally work. It's like, no, like it's not acceptable. It's not a nice thing to do, to turn up at a bar and do comedy unannounced, like a drive-by comedy shooting. Awful.
Well,
one time years ago
we did comedy on the tube, which was basically that, but even worse because it was on the tube. I didn't take part in that because I was like, listen, if I was on the tube and someone did that, I would hate it. But Leo did it and a few others did it. I think it gets semi-viral. You can Google it. Pardon? Yeah, it's awful.
Puns would work.
Open mics are the worst.
I'm so glad that I started comedy when I did. I think if I started now, particularly in your 30s, it is one of the most... I mean, look, I say this, absolute respect to anyone that's starting comedy and breaking into open mic now. You need to love it so much, because if you don't, it is the most demeaning thing. If you love it, it's the most exciting thing and nothing will get in your way. But if you don't, it is the most humiliating and demeaning, particularly bringers. Like, I'm so glad I never had to do a bringer gig. Imagine bringing your friends to watch you bomb.
Imagine having friends. I don't even know how I couldn't do comedy now. I couldn't start. I don't even know how I managed to do comedy. I don't know. It's like, look, it's not the gigging. It's like the networking, the turning up. I don't know how I did it.
I think it's just staying in the game long enough. You just not quit. Your secret to success is stubbornness.
Yeah, not quitting. Like, that's my secret to the stock market. If you don't cash out, you don't lose money.
Exactly. So right now, all your wins in comedy are just paper wins.
That's right. Well, my stock is currently down 400%, but I've not cashed out, baby, so I've not lost any money. So what? Anyway, what's going on about? So it's a Hong Kong. So roundabout way of telling us what's happened with this law.
Well, basically, so this law came into force last week, and I made a joke about it on stage. Like, I put my camera.
Just to clarify, he made a joke about this on stage at the gig he didn't do when he told the cameraman not to film.
Oh yeah, this was the gig which I was allowed to do. No, this was the actual show. So basically,
this is a state-approved gig.
Yeah, but it literally is. So in order to get my visa, I had to like submit employment history and copies of my degree certificate, which is quite a flex. And
need a visa to go to Hong Kong
to work, yeah, to do a gig.
Okay.
And I'm not allowed to do any work outside of my visa, so like I couldn't even do an open mic, because that counts as free unpaid work, right?
That Daniel Simonsen, just a little thing, got a really funny joke. He's a Norwegian comedian, he used to gig in London, but
I had a rumor about him. Should I say that?
What's the rumor?
Oh, I probably shouldn't say it.
Well, say it. I'll take it out.
No, let's not.
You can't titillate the audience and myself. I said I've heard a rumor, and then not tell us the rumor. I'm going to tell the story anyway. You've got to say it now.
I think it is him. I just heard that. I'm not doing this. I'll text you.
Just tell me the rumor.
He might be a rotter.
He's not Daniel Simonson's not a rotter.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of someone else then. Right, cut this. Cut this.
I'm not cutting shit.
Right, well, forget everything I said. I'm confusing him with someone else.
Daniel Simonsen, I can confirm, is not a writer. He's a very funny comedian. Actually, I didn't like him when I first saw him, and he won the Edinburgh Award, I think. And I didn't used to like him, But then I went to New York and he started right from the bottom after being in Edinburgh. Really worked hard anyway to get where he is now. He's doing late night in the cellar in America and stuff. So he really worked hard. So I admire him for that. But when I was out there, he was doing all the shit gigs. And he used to do a joke. He goes, listen, my visa means I can't work, but I can play stadiums. So if any of you have any stadiums that need playing, I'm your man. But he's very funny and not a sex pest. Handsome man.
Good. So I made a joke. I put this camera up on the side of the stage and it looked a bit obnoxious. So I made an oblique reference. So I went, oh, by the way, that camera's not mine. Some guy in a uniform came in and stuck it up. I think we're live streaming to Xi Jinping now. So I just said that because it's funny. But it didn't. Some people were laughing, but some people got really awkward about it. And I was kind of chatting to some local Hong Kongers after the show. People are really worried about this. Like, people are having private conversations different to public conversations. And it's basically Hong Kong, the dream of Hong Kong maintaining all of its rights and privileges all the way up to 2047 is now over.
Of course, but this is a thing. What are you going to do? Ultimately, all of these things, the whole way the world works is, they say, oh, it's international law, you've got to obey it. But international law only goes one way, and it's who's got the biggest stick. That's why African countries and Arab countries always international law, we're going to have to bomb the shit out of you now because you've disobeyed it. But meanwhile, you see travesties taking place. What can they do? Nothing. It only applies one way. What was Britain ever going to do? What China says, no one is doing that.
Well, this is the issue that Britain had. In fact, when it was, I've read reports, right? When they were negotiating this treaty, in theory, Britain could have kept Hong Kong Island and the bit of section on the Kowloon side that faces the island. And then it would have just given back the rest of Hong Kong, which was by percentage the majority, but kind of by economic activity, the minority. And in negotiations, Britain said this. They said, look, we're giving all of Hong Kong back. But in theory, you know, when we won these wars, we were given this island in perpetuity. And then China said, all right, fine, you're going to keep it. What happens if we decide to take it back? We've surrounded you. We've got military. You don't. It's like, even at the time, Britain was in a weak negotiating position. But I do believe that the governor at the time and the Tory government did care about the rights of, you know, they felt a duty towards the rights of Hong Kongers. Where they failed was no means of enforcing this treaty. So in theory, Britain could take China to the International Court of Justice and, you know, in theory could try and wind this back. But you know, they wouldn't, you know, we've got no power. We would start a war. But it's really sad, and anyone that
basically this law that's taken place that passed yesterday, what it means is that now
last week
is that Hong Kongers, they're basically tried under mainland Chinese law, which is much more draconian,
which doesn't have the same protections, even down to things like, you know, before Hong Kong would have similar rules to the UK where if the government wanted to spy on you, you'd have to go to a judge and, you know, in a secret court and, you know, there'd be some due procedure. That stuff's kind of over. Basically, what it means is if you want to criticize mainland China, which I don't, I love mainland China as of last week. If you want to criticize mainland China,
he's being facetious. Hong Kong,
I'm not.
He's not. Say it in Chinese then if you love them so much. Say it in Mandarin.
If you want to criticize the mainland government, you basically can't now without getting into trouble. So isn't that the point of a democracy, that you are free to criticize the people that rule you?
You know what? It actually brings us back to the crux of what this podcast is actually about, which is free speech and why it's important. So there's no free speech in Hong Kong anymore. Essentially,
no, definitely not.
And how does that reflect on day-to-day life?
So what it appears to mean is that people are just more cautious about saying what they really think. A lot of people are just giving up on Hong Kong. People are giving up on Hong Kong for various reasons, though. Like, Hong Kong used to be a really, really, really important place, right? Economically. But now it's like not even top 20 in terms of like Chinese cities. And so China, it seems their policy is just stop Hong Kong being bothersome, right? Like Shenzhen, which is the city that's just over the border, is now bigger than Hong Kong. And it's like had loads of innovation, like DJI products, there's drones and all that stuff. That's come out of there. Much bigger shipping ports. Obviously, Hong Kong, its currency is pegged to the US dollar. So if interest rates rise, Hong Kong loses out.
I was going to say they use different currency. What currency do they use in Hong Kong?
It's the Hong Kong dollar, which against the pound feels a bit more severe. Like it's more or less 100 Hong Kong dollars is £10. So
I think you said it's pegged to the dollar. Oh, it's not 1-to-1. How much is McDonald's? How expensive is Hong Kong?
Well, actually, McDonald's is fairly cheap. Food here is fairly cheap. But Hong Kong's odd, right? Because like, you could take the ferry from Central to TST, and that costs $4, like 40p. So that's really cheap. But then, you know, you can easily spend, you know, in the kind of rich part of town, things are way, way, way more expensive. But there's also restaurants which still use percentages of a dollar because they're like, you know, pork rice dishes are like $20 and that's all people can afford, like £2. There's a lot of poverty in Hong Kong, but things have definitely changed. Like my friends have noticed, like there's a lot more mainland Chinese coming to Hong Kong for tourism and for business. Like you just hear Mandarin spoken a lot more. And like the big expat communities of bankers and whatever have started to dwindle. The party area that's called Lan Kwai Fong, which I've had some amazing nights out in, is just kind of less fun, less boisterous. But look, to kind of round this up. I had a really kind of sad conversation. There's this little Lebanese restaurant that I go to every time I'm here. It's like it's almost like a kiosk. They do really good hummus and stuff. And, you know, beers late at night. And as I was sat there, a guy spotted me who'd been to the show. And he went, "Oh, you're Ollie." I went, "Yeah." He went, "Oh, I was at your show. Can I buy you a beer?" I said, "Yeah, of course you can." So I started chatting to him. And we were chatting about this, right? So he was kind of giving me a bit of background and... he's not from Hong Kong, but he's lived here for 10 years. And then a local Hong Konger came and sat down and he overheard the conversation and he got really upset. He said it really upsets him to hear foreigners talk about Hong Kong in this way. And he says, "You know, I just hope you guys don't give up hope on this place because we Hong Kongers, we have got our own identity that's separate from China. We have got our own language that's separate from China. We, you know, I believe in the future of Hong Kong. I believe in the spirit of Hong Kong people." And he said, "You know, I hope," because I was also telling him about like how difficult it is to tour out here now. And he said, "I hope you don't give up. I hope you come back and make us laugh again." It was really sad to see that literally in the past year, more has changed in the past year than the past 5 years, in my opinion.
Like what?
Okay, one very specific example that might not seem very important. When you take when you arrive in Hong Kong airport, you take a shuttle train to get to the immigration. The kind of the guards that guard that, the people that check the security, the people that, you know, look inside the train to see that there's no leftover passengers, whatever, their aesthetic has changed. It now looks a bit more militarized. It looks a bit more mainland Chinese. Before, it looked a bit more like Hong Kongese, which was kind of borrowed from the British aesthetic. It's really, I know that sounds like a terrible example, but in very, very, very subtle ways. Also, shops are just closing left, right, and center. Like the Hong Kong economy is like really struggling. So I've just noticed a lot of businesses in the past year have closed. So they survived COVID, but then they couldn't make one more year. And then with this Hong Kong security law, people like I've got friends here who are lawyers and even judges and whatever. They will not have frank conversations with me unless we are in a private members club or in someone's home. You know, like they really want to make sure that they're not in anywhere remotely public when they're talking to me so frankly. And I mean that wouldn't have happened last year,
but they've but they've still got Google in Hong Kong. But then you go to like the nearest city in Shenzhen or what it was called, and they've got, then it's locked down.
It's literally a different version of Google, and it's everything else. So Hong Kong still definitely has that.
Do they use, what is it, WeChat in Hong Kong or whatever they that?
Yeah, and Alipay. Oh, that's another thing, actually. The kind of the payment processes. So before, you'd have the Octopus card, which was like their Oyster card. But now I've noticed loads of the shops are using like WePay and I actually don't know the names of them, but like loads of the loads of the payment processes are kind of head nodding towards the mainland. I guess the right analogy is the kind of death by a thousand cuts. There's no one big thing. Like, you can't say this security law means, you know, this is the final nail in the coffin for Hong Kong. Hong Kong is still a unique place compared to the rest of China. Hong Kong people definitely, even as someone that doesn't really know much about China or Hong Kong, I can still kind of sense a difference in personalities between people from Hong Kong. The Cantonese language is very different to Mandarin. It's, people tell me that it can be a bit more complex. Like it's a lot easier to make puns because they've got even more tones. And you know, the Hong Kong media is still separate to mainland media.
So how different is Cantonese to Mandarin?
So it's like, people tell me that it's like a British person hearing German, like, you know, the odd word you can.
Oh, really? So it's up, totally different.
It is different, but written down, it's a bit easier to understand. But the difference is in China, they use the simplified characters, whereas in Hong Kong and also Taiwan, they use the traditional characters, which I can read, right? Because I can read Japanese, which is the same as the traditional characters. So that's handy.
But when you read it, can you understand it? Or is it like me reading German?
No. I mean, I definitely can't. But I could, like, if I saw a newspaper headline, I could make a vague guess as to what the topic was, or like on a menu, I can see, oh, that's beef with fried rice, or that's pork with an egg, like stuff like that.
It always comes down to food.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't mean to talk about this for so long, but I guess I am quite emotionally invested because this was the first, I remember visiting this country and knowing absolutely nothing about it. Like, I remember even going to the Hong Kong History Museum and genuinely not knowing about the Opium Wars. And I'm embarrassed to say that, right? At the age of 22, I didn't know any detail of the Opium Wars because even with a history A-level, if it wasn't in the syllabus, you didn't need to know about it. So
you only learn the history that you're taught in the school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's shameful, really. And really, at the time, in 2014, I remember talking to a barrister's chambers here when I was going to qualify. I was going to see if I can qualify here. It just seemed like such a fun, interesting kind of expat place to live. In the end, I moved to Japan because that also offered me a bit of adventure. It was a lot of fun. But, no one rational now, I don't think, would start their career here with this level of uncertainty unless you've already got, you know, ties to the country. And the only tie I had was I met one girl at uni who was really fit.
What happened to that girl, Ollie?
She's now a successful barrister. And in fact, she came to watch my show with her partner, who I don't think knew that we ever had a thing. So good on her.
Well, if he's listening to this pod, which he's not, Ollie wanted to bang your missus. And still does.
No, I didn't. No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
I respect the sanctity of their marriage.
That's very good. You should respect the sanctity of their marriage. I'm now thinking, should I cut the beginning bit of this podcast, being as it's quite a Hong Kong-centric podcast?
No, keep the stuff right, with them.
We'll keep Justin. It in. What about the
Should we talk about something else?
Yeah. What about the P. Diddy stuff? Have you been following that?
I don't
know
anything about that. No, I haven't.
I mean, I've been vaguely following it, but basically this week's been a bit of a nightmare because if you were listening last week, Navara spilled a cup of tea on herself and then she got a temperature, so she had to go into the hospital. So I had to go into the hospital with her and then she was fine, but they kept her in. And I was like, listen, you've got to let her out because they don't know if she has to stay in. So I'm so tired. I spent two nights this week in the hospital with her overnight where she was just terrorizing other patients because she was fine. but she was in there just terrorizing some kids. Like, I've got cancer. She doesn't care. Just pull your shit out. Anyway,
just give a context for people that don't know. She got burnt on some.
She pulled some tea over herself and burnt herself, and it was looking like she might have to have skin grafts. But luckily, thankfully, she's going to be all right. But if you get burns, apparently, especially for kids, they can get toxic shock really quickly. So you have to be very careful. If they get a temperature or anything, so she got a temperature, so brought her in, and then she was fine. But then they insisted on keeping her in, but she's 2.5, so she's bored out of her brains, just terrorizing them all day, all night. So now, interesting.
Does she go to a nursery or anything? Normally.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's bored out of her brains. But anyway, so I'm not been following
Let's
the
talk
news.
About one
too.
More thing.
Well, I've not been following the news, but basically the P. Diddy thing looks like it's I don't understand. People are like, oh, this is all shocking. Obviously, it's a Jeffrey Epstein thing where he's basically fucking noncing on underage girls and gatekeeping anyone who wants to be in the music business by either bumming them to death or, you know, having his wicked way. But apparently bum's a technical term. He bummed some other artists, apparently, as well. Within Hollywood, obviously, it was all well known. So now that's all coming out. People are like, oh, this is shocking.
Well, it's exactly the same as what's happened in comedy, isn't it?
Well, what's happened in comedy?
Well, loads of us knew about all the loads of open secrets about, you know, male acts who were dodgy. In fact,
name names.
I don't think I do want to name a name because I've
actually
heard
don't that, name names because I can't be bothered to bleep it.
No, but you know who I'm talking about. He gigs a lot in Australia, and there's a comedian that has a routine about him auctioning off his anal virginity because an older male comic asked him how much it would cost, and this comic has been linked to, like, there's a coroner's report of a young gay boy who ended up committing suicide that's mentioned this guy's name. I'm really not going to say, because apparently he has been litigious.
I don't know who it is. I've typed in the chat. If you look, you should. Right. He's the one who's doing it.
Oh. Hang on. I've got a special. Oh. That's funny. All right, well, they yeah, so that you didn't know about this.
No, I knew about that, but when you put just the surname, I misread that as someone else. I was like, what? He's That's our friend. Funny. It's funny. Funny.
All right, well, I mean, this is terrible content, but isn't that a shame? I'd love to just say this guy, and in fact, not only this isn't,
well,
just
you did slander Daniel Simonson earlier on.
Yeah, but I took that back because I confused him with someone else. I know a very, very credible first-person testimony in relation to this successful comedian who's a wrong'un. And even though... And I wouldn't talk about that because that would be a breach of their confidence. But even though I'm totally confident that saying this person's name would not be defamatory, I know that they've... had lawyers involved before, and so I just don't want to go there. How sad! I'm being silenced in Hong Kong.
However, if you are listening to this and you are a member of the Patreon, hit me up and I will tell you happily. As long as you pay, you get to know all the details. We don't hide anything from the Patreon.
Can we talk about Leo?
No, specifically okay. asked not to.
Okay, fine. Where's Nico? That's a question that comes up in the comments a lot.
Saw Nico last week at the gig, and he wants to record the podcast, but he says he doesn't like doing it online. And to be honest, I know why. Basically, at the moment, because it's not the best, is it? At the moment, everything's up, like, just we're here, there, and everywhere. Everyone's all around. But we're going to try and get into the studio, hopefully next month, and get back onto a more normal recording schedule, maybe. But Nico is very much involved, does want to record. just not online.
Good. Some of the comments. This is the only podcast where the production values go down as the subscriber count goes up.
Yeah, that's because I'm doing the production at the moment.
But I don't think that's true because I don't think the subscriber count is going up.
We've got how many subscribers have we got now? We've got
four likes on this comment. I had no idea Ollie was a bum bandit. I'm not sure that's PC. I don't know. And then a comment to that saying, wasn't it obvious? Wait. Well, fine.
You've
got 2,300 subscribers, which is only marginally behind the Simon Cain episode. Oh,
2,361 subscribers.
Simon Cain, that episode. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that Simon listens to this podcast, so we can't be mean about him because he will hear and get upset. For listeners that aren't aware, about a month ago, Darius did an in-person episode with Simon Cain, who was a comedian who was disgraced and cancelled on the basis of a series of allegations, which ended up being not true. And he ended up being... I couldn't get through the episode because I was just bored. Well, I'll be honest. Because I know the story, right? But do you think that... do you think that was a PR success for Simon?
Well, you know what? A couple of people messaged me about that podcast. They really enjoyed it. Actually, it was mainly comedians who enjoyed that podcast, but I knew it would be.
Simon was the comedian's comedian.
Yeah, comedians liked that. I think they found it interesting. So comedians enjoyed it. I guess if you're not in the comedy game, maybe it's not that interesting. But, you know, this podcast is what it is.
Good. How long have we done?
We have done 51 minutes of scintillating, exciting.
Mainly me giving my absolutely unqualified rambling thoughts on Hong Kong.
Yeah. I think we need to, maybe we should take a hiatus for a few weeks. Come back.
It was actually useful having Leo last week insist on a list of topics, because the only topic which we agreed on was you using a different kind of milk. And actually that did work. That was actually a good topic. And what did I say? I said I wanted to have a nap before the show because I had eaten too much goose.
Oh yeah. Why are you eating goose?
Goose is really popular in Hong Kong. They roast it in big round ovens. So one of the very distinctive things about Hong Kong cuisine is these barbecue restaurants where they will roast things like goose and duck, sometimes pigeon, pork belly. They'll roast the fatty part of the pork belly as well as the skin. And it's quite affordable. It's like maybe £5 or £6 for a couple of different meats on a bed of rice with like really nice kind of ginger sauce or a chili sauce. But what's distinctive is they hang these meats outside the restaurant, you know, obviously behind glass. So you can mm-hmm. see all these like hanging animals. And if you walk in, there's loads of these restaurants in around Central. It must be really confronting to a non-meat eater. I mean, even as a meat eater, the fact they literally are hanging these geese by their neck in order to kind of drip the fat out of them does make you think, oh, maybe I should be eating.
What does it taste like?
It is so delicious. I mean, I was really thinking hard about what my favorite food in the world is, because I get asked this question a lot. And I do think Hong Kong, it's like, it's very bad for you. It's really, really fatty. It's really fatty, right? And the flavor is so deep and intense, because these ducks and these geese, they have like 4 days of prep, and they'll like brush them in like a sugary syrup, and then they'll...
Are these the ones that are like in the window in Chinatown?
Yeah, exactly like that. So exactly like the ones in Chinatown. Those are duck, but in Hong Kong there's a lot of geese.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like duck.
Tastes like fishy chicken.
Well, you've said that before. The duck that I had, so I got taken to Peking Garden by an old friend a couple of days ago. That duck, I think you would like, because it's a little bit gamey, but it's not kind of too in your face. And it was
You know, I don't really like Chinese food. I didn't like it. But the other day, I tried salt and pepper chips and Mongolian beef. and I've reevaluated my stance on Chinese food. Well,
neither of which are Chinese food. I remember trying to take you to a restaurant and you vetoing almost everything. Even fried rice you got icky about.
Yeah, because it had prawns in it.
Yeah. But you could
if
just
it comes from the sea. Yeah, I can taste it. I can taste it very clearly. It tastes like fish. It comes from the sea.
It's you wouldn't even have Thai food because it's got fish sauce in.
Yeah, ruined it for me when they tell. So why go put fish sauce in it? Just make it without fish sauce. Disgusting.
There's so many restaurants in London I'm looking forward to going back to. I'm genuinely excited about going for a Sunday roast at Blacklock. Not yeah. one of them in 6 months.
That's good.
Genuinely great place to go. What else is good? That's about it. That's the thing I've been dreaming about.
A Sunday roast. You can make your own Sunday roast.
Yeah, you can. Do you remember when I made sausages?
Yeah, they weren't very good.
No, terrible.
Ollie bought expensive sausages, but they were. Sausages are one thing where you don't actually want expensive ones. No, they're just too meaty.
We learned the lesson. You shouldn't buy the cheapest sausage, which has like a very low pork content. But these sausages were too nice. They tried too hard. It was like they were trying to make something that wasn't a sausage. Too flavorful. Texture was wrong. No, thank you.
Yeah, it was like bitty. It was like,
yeah, no good.
Yeah, well, I'm not good.
However, we had Australian Wagyu beef sausages in a barbecue I did in Adelaide. One of some of the nicest sausages I've ever had. If you are in Adelaide Central Market, go to Barossa Fine Foods and do yourself a favor and go and get. Oh, this is a genuinely funny story. So, you know, I was in Adelaide last year. I bought over $150 of rolled pork belly from this lady who, what do you say when you refer to older audience members in a roundabout way? You say more matured or something.
Oh, marinated in life.
Yeah. Anyway, so this older lady and I really struck up a friendship. So I went back to her butchery twice and she remembered me by name. Anyway, I went back to the cover market this time, walked past the shop, wasn't planning on going in, caught her eye. And it really was like a scene from a film where we both just like went through the Rolodex of why did that eye contact mean something? I then walked back to the shop and she went, Ollie. I went, no way. And she went, you were the guy that bought the pork belly last year. And I said, nothing happens in Adelaide, does it? And so because she remembered me, I then bought another rolled pork belly. So in the last night of the festival, I made pork belly for the family I stay with and Evan, who from Creatures Comedy Club, you know him, and Paul Savage, and Kim Lee.
Kim Lee. I think that's really bad though that Apple just randomly put that when you.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? It kind of suggests that like the video feed is not unaltered. You know, like it's being mediated somehow. I don't like it.
Why are Apple looking at they? Because they are actually. That means Apple are kind of watching what's going on.
Yeah, Xi Jinping is watching this live stream now. This is his favorite podcast.
This son of a bitch, Apple and their so-called trust thing gotta look like shit.
Okay. Do you want any old school Hong Kong movie posters for the Fag Zone? I saw a market stall today.
Please send some pictures and we can upload them to the Patreon and ask which posters would look good in the Fag Zone. If you do get them, I want big ones. How much are they?
They were cheap. They were like 12 quid or something.
Oh, yeah. Send some pictures. Let's see. Maybe one of them.
Yeah. Be good. Okay, I think that is a podcast. I think a lot of that was chit chat. If you are a continued listener, it's remarkable that it's me that's saying this really because I'm part of the Three Speech Podcast Extended Universe. I'm not.
That's Leo right, Cruz. You are.
I'm not Nico.
Me or Mooch.
I'm not Mooch. No. I'm not. Who else is in the universe?
The Three Speech Podcast Extended Universe includes Mooch, myself, Nico, Leo, Jussie P, Ollie, and then every now and then we bring in other guests. Radu, I guess, is part of it now. He's been on a few times. Alistair Williams has been on a couple of times. So, but they're more peripheral characters in the extended universe. You're more of a main walk-on character in the extended universe.
Yeah, good. Some people have who listened to the Three Speech Pod have followed me on other places and left nice comments. Some of the listeners of this podcast are really nice.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. It's incredible. Listen, if you are listening to this podcast and you're in Birmingham tomorrow, I'm going to just upload this now. Tomorrow, which is Saturday night, I will be on opening, I think, or MC and hosting a gig with Count Dankula and Nico DeSanto, who Count Dankula you will know, and Nico DeSanto is an Iranian-Italian comedian, quite outspoken, doing well on YouTube. It should be a fun gig. It's going to be replete with incels. You'll be able to smell the virginity from a mile away, and I will be adding my virginity to their nerdiness as well, so I can increase that virginity level. So that's on tomorrow, and on Sunday I'm
you've
in only, Manchester.
You've got a week to wait till I'm back. Then you won't have your virginity any longer.
My anal virginity. I heard a rumor about you.
Go on.
Someone said you were straight.
Yeah, well, it certainly feels...
my new joke.
Oh, by the way, you know that girl who I...
God, my shit.
Who I saw on a date with another guy.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay, let me quickly preview. So Ollie told me he's been seeing some girl on and off, being in Hong Kong. Not like Ollie to travel to Hong Kong to see a girl. Anyway, went on a date with her. Then the next day he was out. Next day he was out, and she was on a date with another guy who was apparently really fit, handsome Chinese man. And then, she saw him, and he saw her, and she pretended she didn't know it was him.
Yeah, and then I was so I thought, well, I'm just being racist, like whoops, but it definitely was her. And so then I took a picture of her, and I was like, this girl looks just like you. And she did an amazing thing. She just ignored it. She just replied to another message I'd sent. I just didn't acknowledge
it's like,
that.
This is like the Eddie Murphy joke where he goes, listen, if you're cheating on a woman and she catches you, it's not enough. She wants to hear you say it. So all you say, it wasn't me. She could, well, you could be balls deep in a woman and say, it wasn't me. After all, she's like, maybe it wasn't me. So she could be walking out of her house. This is you. She was walking out the house with the guy. She said, it wasn't me. I said, maybe it wasn't me.
Well, that's the thing. I really just started to convince myself because I thought, how unlikely is this that we were out until 2 a.m. the night before. And like, you know, we previously, you know, we'd been dating on and off. And so then literally the next day, she knows where I'm staying. And I went for coffee with my producer here. And she tagged the restaurant that she was at with this guy. Very expensive place. I couldn't have afforded it. Mm-hmm. And I was utterly persuaded. I want to turn it into a bit. It was almost like she was pleased that I'd sent that photo. Because it was a nice photo of them as a couple, you know, taken from behind, their arm in arm, looking cute. It's almost like she'd gone, that's a nice photo of us. Do you have any more?
So what happened like then in the end? Is she cheating on you or what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we were. How can you cheat on me? Because we weren't. We weren't dating. But
yeah, she that's did exactly basically. How you can cheat on you.
I did say, you know, why don't you just make up your mind? Like, if you're going to see other people, just tell me. Then you don't have to lie to me. And I said, but I don't think it's normal to, you know, literally the night before, act one way and then kind of lie about where you are the next day. I said, oh, that's a bit weird. So to be honest, I'm not really interested anymore. And so I said I'm not interested anymore.
All this heartbreak is going to drive you to food.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I've eaten so much goose. Do you reckon if I was with her, I would have ordered as much goose as I did? Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah, she has no idea what she's doing. I am the prize. And so I did say to her, I said, I don't think this behavior is normal. Like, I think she should just go, yeah, I have been with another guy and that's absolutely fine, right? And if she said that, because she kind of tried to gaslight me, I said, do you know what? I don't think I'm interested in pursuing anything anymore. And then she said, understood, please let me process and get back to you properly. And she sent that on Monday and it's now Friday. So she's a lot of processing to do, isn't
she? She's doing some processing.
There's a lot of processing.
Well, we'll be on tenterhooks till next week to find out whether or not she's processed her true feelings for Ollie before he leaves for mainland China over the weekend.
I reckon, well, that's the thing. The moment I'm out of the country, maybe she's just been, maybe it's just the new security law. You know, maybe she's concerned the truth is too powerful.
That's right. Loose lips sink ships. Listen, on that note, thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, which is rubbish, it's not, it's good. look, look, not all episodes can be great.
This is a good episode. Why are you saying that in front of me?
I don't know. I think it's because I'm tired. I'm tired and hungry.
What are you going to eat?
I don't know. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to eat. What shall I eat?
Why don't you go and get something from Gail's? Get some nice like sourdough bread and put some like really nice turkey or something in it.
I'm not homosexual anymore.
All right, we'll put some beef in it then.
That's a good point. Man beef. All right. I don't know. I'll let you know next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Ollie, for joining. Thank you. Bye. Wait. How did you make the balloons?
Oh, my goodness. Did that just... Right? I have no idea.
A guy on the podcast, on the funeral, did that, and then balloons came
That's off. What it was. That's what it was. He would have said something like, she leaves behind her two sisters, and then as that happened, yeah, something like that. That's unbelievable. Bam, 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 bam.
That's really bad. That's really bad. Finish. End.